Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Sal Capaccio joining us here. It's a football Friday, a Buffalo Bills victory Friday. You know what? When we come back on Monday, we're calling that Victory Monday, too. You know, Fridays, Mondays, days of the week, it's tough. Football Friday brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino. Call the 8s. And by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's hometown fuel, game day ready since 1922.
It's kind of like when NBC has the Thursday night opener, but they still have all Monday. The graphics that say Sunday night football.
Right.
Because it's the Sunday night football show,
right,
even
Thursday.
Though it's on a Thursday.
Yeah, it's confusing. Yeah. Meanwhile, Sal Capaccio joins us here. Sal, I've got a tough ask for you here, but I want to... Joe said something in the update that it reminds me of something, and I don't remember what it's from. But Stephen Ross, the owner, saying they're not going to fire Mike McDaniel unless... What was it?
Rappaport said that Stephen Ross doesn't want to fire McDaniel. He would only get to that point if fans either stop showing up to the stadium or the players quit on him.
Right. So, to me, I hear that, and I think it's one of those moments where, why would he say that? Why are you saying? Is he telling you this is how it's... And there's a movie or a television, a famous movie event where... There's some announcement, and whether it's the cops or the criminal or the good guy or the bad guy, somebody says something, and everyone says, why would he say that? The idea is Stephen Ross just said to his fans, just don't show up. Don't show up, and you give me the green light.
Wow.
You let me know what you want me to do here. If the fans don't show up, I feel like the fans weren't showing up already.
That's the joke I was waiting for someone to make.
Alan
right?
Pupar.
Miami fans don't show up anyway.
We talked with Alan Pupar of SI.com, and he had already said the fans have checked out.
Right.
So by Stephen Ross saying that, it's, why would he say that? It's the giveaway. He's saying, like, I'll do it. You know, just stop showing up, guys. Anyway, if anybody can remember that movie, that's a call out to some...
I don't know.
Caper.
Sal, I don't know if you know it. I don't know it.
Put me an arrow down.
I don't know the movie, but it reminds me of, I think, even with our own kids. Like, well, really, I can't do that unless this happens.
Right.
Oh, you know what I mean?
Right. If only we could.
Little bribe there, right? You want to make it happen. So that's kind of a weird one right there. I thought the Dolphins were very fightful last night.
Yes.
They had a lot of fight. And I just think going into this game, the talk of... Like it's crazy. Even after the game now, look, I'll be the first to tell you, we could talk about it. I don't think the Bills played their best football game. There's no doubt. So, yeah, certainly a lot of things that you could say they should have done this better, that better. But, man, I think the over-expectation of the way this team should have just blown them out. This is the NFL, man. Holy cow, they just won a division game by 10 points. 31, they scored 30 points again. But because it wasn't the 40-point blowout of a team that was 0-2, I think that it seems like a lot of people are upset this morning about a lot of things. And I think you have to put in perspective, this is about the Dolphins now, what they were trying to accomplish. This is a team trying to salvage their season. They did have a lot of fight. It's a division game. And they gave everything they had. No doubt the Bills did not play their best game. And there's things that they have to do differently. But I thought the Dolphins were a very competitive team last night and did everything they could to try and salvage their season after 2 weeks.
I do too. I thought that it was a game with plenty of fight, and you know the rivalry was ticking up there. Sal, it got physical, right?
Yeah.
Allen gets hit from behind, and there
Allen got on a guy's face.
Yeah. Like you saw a good amount of fire from the Dolphins. So if you're trying to make the case they're quitting on their coach, I think it's a tough case to make today.
Agreed. I don't think they were quitting on their coach at all, and. They now have another nationally televised game for their next game. It's a Monday night against the Jets.
Right.
They'll have 11 days for that one. So, you know, maybe things, again, you evaluate that. I felt that if they were competitive and it was close in any regard, that there was going to be no firing of Mike McDaniel. The only way would be if it really truly got super bad and they laid down. They did not lay down, so I don't think that's the case. But at the end of the day, the Bills beat them by 10 points still. As much as we could say, like, the Bills didn't do this or that, they still scored 30 points. They won a division game. And, you know, now they themselves have 10 days to kind of reset themselves and get ready for another one.
We should be thanking them for when they make it a little interesting, Sal. You know, come on, a little drama.
Yeah.
You know, not too bad. Do you want the answer to my query?
On what the movie's from?
Yes, I've got it.
I can't wait to this will be a movie from, like, 1986.
No. 90s. This is an MVP performance from Adam, who remembered this. So Stephen Ross saying, I can't fire him unless you stop showing up to the games. It's Dustin Hoffman in the movie Outbreak. When he tells the guy, like, hey, that bomber can't complete its run if you get in its way. Like, why would he say that? He tells him how to.
Yes. That's right, yes.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know if Joe's ever seen Outbreak.
I haven't, and I just looked it up, and the movie poster is like a lemur? A monkey? Spider monkey on it?
You should see Outbreak.
This looks crazy.
It's great. Yeah. Anyway, Sal, all right, arrow up, arrow down. We'll get to that in a moment, but I want to take a moment just to talk about the final Dolphins game, the scene, Thursday Night Football. You know, Bills fans, we are living a life where we get all these spotlights, right? Where Western New York ends up in the spotlight, and now it's about the new stadium, and I feel like Amazon did a lot with that, talking about Fitz going over there, and Fitz on the broadcast, and Fitz on the field, and, like, I know you're at the game. It's always these glow-up moments for the Bills. They really have so many of these days, and here comes another one. Primetime, Dolphins win, ho-hum. You know, the Bills end up looking like a top-class organization, like they often do in these spots.
I didn't know that Fitz took off his shirt until Yana showed me this morning when I got up, and she's like, did you see Fitz last night? I said, yes, I saw him. I actually did see Fitz after the game. The Amazon crew was hanging out, so I talked to him for a minute, and she goes, no, did you see he took off his shirt? No, I didn't see that part. So she showed me the video, and Josh was on there, and he was chanting, take it off, with the fans. And he took off his shirt, and, you know, Fitz is loved by Buffalo. And afterwards, I don't know if you guys saw, but when I was actually standing on the field watching them, and they're trying some really hot wings, him and Andrew Whitworth and a few of the other people on crew. And as far as your point about, you know, Buffalo and the way that they look, listen, the NFL loves Buffalo right now. They do. They love Buffalo. They love the Buffalo Bills. They love Josh Allen. They love everything about what's going on here. Every year I interview Mike North, as you guys know, who's one of the head schedule makers of the league. And every year he not only says that the Bills are still must-watch TV, it gets bigger and better every year for them. They want as much of the Bills as possible. CBS, NBC, Amazon, ESPN, it doesn't matter. Everybody wants a piece of the Buffalo Bills. They want a piece of Josh Allen. This city, this stadium, the fan base resonates around the league, and it was another really good showing last night, and it does not hurt. Hey, there's one thing to say. Snow globes and the aesthetics of a December game are great, but it also doesn't hurt when you have absolutely gorgeous September weather, and everybody I talk to is like, man, this is great weather out here, and we love coming here like this. So all of that really matters.
Sal Capaccio. All right, Sal, to the game itself, we saw – I don't say like breakout performances, but this is how the Bills kind of want to do things as a team, whether it's Jackson Hawes or Dalton Kincaid. Is that Kincaid's best game with the Bills, right? He kind of showcases a lot of what he's able to do. The touchdown, he nearly had a second one. Allen looks for him on another play as well. Like, we really got a good full boat of Kincaid, and the tight ends as a group and where they function as a function of this offense.
This was everybody eats. That's what it was. 10 people had targets. 9 guys had receptions. 5, 6 players had 2 or more receptions. How many? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 players had double-digit yardage or higher. The highest being Dalton Kincaid at 66. He was really good. Both Chris Brown this week, I'll give him credit, and I said on the pregame show that the tight ends should probably factor into this game because the Dolphins just didn't have good coverage from their linebackers. They're not great at the second level at covering, and the Bills took advantage of that early on. They attacked it, and Dalton Kincaid was targeted early and often. I would agree this could be considered maybe his best game in a Bills uniform. And what's really great to see about Dalton Kincaid is he is blocking really well, and there are plays every game, including this game, where he is making a block. I think there was one on Shakir's.
The touchdown.
Was it Shakir?
Yep.
Yeah, because I know Tyrell Shavers might have had one on that one too. I'm not sure, but he's making blocks too. He's doing his job in the run game. And then when you add Jackson Hawes in there, I talked to the tight ends not Dalton. I talked to Dawson and Jackson Hawes in the locker room about this, about what it does to a defense when you could put 13 personnel on the field and you're not just pounding the ball at them, because that's what you think about 13 personnel. And they just both like lit up and said that's the dream, right? Where you put three tight ends on the field and teams just still don't know what you're gonna do. And the Bills have really leaned into that, and they've used that. So this was everybody eats. This is exactly the way that the Bills envision it with, you know, how they want to operate their offense.
And that personnel, Sal, you tweeted out the snap counts. It is kind of wild to see how much three tight ends can play. Like, when your third string tight end is on the field for almost half the snaps. And it's a big day for James Cook, and a lot of those big runs that he had, especially in the first half, he had a sequence where I feel like he had five runs in a row that were all gaining like six or more yards. And a lot of those big runs he was getting, Sal, were when all three of the tight ends were on the field.
No doubt. And again, you're going to put a defense in a bind, because traditionally when you see that package, you can just kind of load up the box and say, okay, they're coming at us. I don't think you could do that when the Bills put their 13 on the field. Now, you still might want to, given the down and distance situation. But the fact is, the Bills can throw out of that. They can still run with their quarterback out of that. They can do what they did with Jackson Hawes, which is leak him out. By the way, Jackson Hawes has a block and Matthew Judon. He puts Matthew Judon to the ground before he catches a touchdown pass.
A defensive end.
I mean, you think about that's what these guys can do. So you're right, Joe. I mean, the Bills just want to use that type of personnel. And every game is going to be different. You're not going to see that every game. You're going to see maybe another game where you don't have as much 13 personnel. They didn't want to use it as much against the Ravens as they did until later in the game, when they saw that there was a few things they could do with that type of personnel, and that's how they got Jackson Hawes down the field. So there's going to be some games where you're not going to use it as much. But this was, I think, the typical kind of philosophical game the Bills want to play. They didn't execute a lot at times the way they wanted to. You know, they had how many straight, a series with a punt, and that's not good. So it wasn't always the best or flawless execution, no doubt about it. But I think overall, the philosophy of how they want to win kind of played into this game.
Sal Capaccio joining us. Sal, let's get to the defense and how they performed. Third down defense, it was great against the Jets. I think a big part of that was how they got them into third and very long in that game. But the third down defense kind of rears its ugly head or whatever. Gets back to the problem it was last year. They could not get off the field consistently. Tua finding Jalen Waddle, Tua finding scrambles. What do you make of the defensive performance overall, and specifically as we dig into third down, which we know has been a focal point for McDermott and for Brandon Bean this offseason?
Third down defense wasn't good. And what's troubling about what you just said is right, because they also had third and longs here and they couldn't get them off the field. Miami converted several third and longs. But overall, 10 for 15, when you hold the team 0 for 11, that's amazing. But 10 for 15 is just unacceptable. You can't have that. That being said, I think the reasons for that were mostly the fact that the Bills did not finish their pass rush. They did not finish sacks. They got around Tua, but they didn't get to Tua. And uncharacteristically, we don't see this a lot from Tua, he was able to get out of the pocket, and he was able to scramble, and then he was able to make some throws down the field. So I think, to me, that was a reason why. They blitz, too. And when you blitz and you don't get home, you guys know what happens. You leave holes, right? And I think that was part of an issue. So third down defense was an issue. But I think the biggest issue on third down was they just didn't get to the quarterback. You have to get to the quarterback. When it's third and long and you're going to send pressure, like, you got to get home. Because if not, you're going to have too many opportunities for spaces down the field to make a play. And what's a double-edged sword? You say, well, they don't blitz. That's fine, but then you're going to give him more time in the pocket. Uncharacteristically, though, I say, because he's just not known to be a scrambler. He scrambled. He got out of the pocket. He threw the ball on target a couple of those times. And he even ran for one himself. So the Bills will have to clean that up. They'll go back and figure out and see. But more of the biggest issue to me wasn't the overall numbers on third down. Yes, that looks bad. It was the fact that they just could not. They only had five total quarterback hurries, by the way, in this game, credited with. Five quarterback hurries. Zero sacks, five quarterback hurries. They needed more out of the defensive ends. Joey Bosa, to me, was fine. But he got close. He didn't finish the play. Like, you got to finish. But you didn't get anything from Rousseau. You didn't get anything from Epinesa. It's just you didn't really get anybody getting enough of Tua, getting to him and getting him on the ground, because typically you get that when you play him.
Yeah, that's where, like, so you said, like, earlier, you know, like, some people are upset that they didn't win by more. I wouldn't qualify myself as upset, for sure. Like, disappointment in a couple of areas would be more accurate, and one of them is that. Like, really, it's the Dolphins' two weakest units are their secondary and their offensive line, and it didn't really feel like the Bills took crazy advantage of either of those. And on that that offensive line point, like, I think that's going to be tough for a guy like Tre'Davious White if you're not going to get home and you're going to supply pressure, because then you're putting him in a bind where he's got to cover Jaylen Waddle one-on-one at this stage in his career, Sal. And maybe the hope would be later in the year that Max Hairston could be a guy that could give you that, but Trey White's not going to be able to cover a receiver like that one-on-one.
Yeah, I gave downs to both White and Benford for that very reason, Joe. I just thought there was too much space. But again, you got to get home too. And when it's third and long, you're going to give them a little bit of space and say, okay, we're going to try and keep things in front of us. But when you got to cover for that extra second and a half, it makes it a lot tougher. So there's no doubt. I mean, you'd love to see a better performance and closer coverage and knocking some balls away. Trey had a real nice bat away of a ball intended for Achan. But overall, I thought there was too much space for Waddle and Tyreek to operate. They had a total of 10 catches. They both scored. Now, neither of them went truly off, right? I think 60-something and 50-something yards or something like that, whatever it was, 60 and 30. So, you know, the numbers were okay, but they both scored. But there were just critical times of the game, third downs where those guys found themselves open. And a lot of times it was on third and long because you're giving them a little bit more space, and then all of a sudden pass rush doesn't get home. Tua's out of the pocket. He extends the play a little bit. Sean McDermott talked about it after the game. Extending the play was a few times was what Tua did. And on the other side, Joe, I agree. The weakest part of the Dolphins, the secondary and the second level, where the Bills were great at attacking the second level early on. I don't know what adjustment the Dolphins made, or the Bills just didn't go back to it, because I thought they should have gone back to it in the second half. They didn't. The Bills attempted one pass over 10 yards the whole game in the air. That's it. I don't know if you guys saw that stat that was tweeted this morning.
We did.
The Bills and Dolphins tied for the lowest amount of total air yards attempted in a game, like, or whatever, because the Dolphins threw behind the line of scrimmage a lot. But I'm going to say this before I make a sweeping judgment about that. I want to see what the Dolphins did to maybe keep everything underneath, right? I mean, you have Josh Allen, and it's, why can't Joe Brady throw deep? Why can't he call these plays? There were definitely times Josh Allen looked at downfield and then he checked it down. No, I mean, you can see it on the field. He's looking downfield and then he checks it down. And why is that? Probably because it's either one of two things, really, or maybe both. Maybe the receivers aren't separating downfield, or maybe the Dolphins are just playing like a shell, and you can't throw it there because they're not giving you anything there.
Yeah, I wonder too, as those start to creep out. Like, we'll see some of those like film clips on social media, and people watch it themselves. There's a play where I just saw Coleman is coming open down the sideline, like 25 yards away, and Allen like no, quick pop 5 yards to James Cook. Like, that's a throw where maybe he could have made it. In fact, like, he's probably going to be able to make it, but he's taken the I'm not going to put the ball in harm's way here play.
That's right. And I think what we've learned is that Josh has learned that it's better to survive another play than to take an unnecessary risk, especially when you have a defense that takes the ball away generally, and you're probably going to the more risk that you minimize, you'll have a better chance to win. It didn't hurt them in this game on the final score, but this was a tie game late in the game, right? And maybe if you take a shot down the field, maybe you have the ability to break something open, no doubt about it. But at the same time, Josh Allen, guys, he completed almost 80% of his passes for 3 touchdown passes, right? So as much as it wasn't, that's the funny thing about it. Like, we're talking, and again, I'll be the first to tell you, like, man, there were struggles from the offense. And then you look up at the end of the day, 31 points and 3 touchdown passes thrown, right? Like, well, how did that happen?
Well, was that the problem for you when they were stifled, like 3 punts in a row? It ends up being 2 because of the penalty. Was it that? Was it also that the run game kind of hit a little bit of a rough patch there too, or was it everything?
I think at the time that it happened, that was for me, like, this is not. It felt like the Bills should have ran away with this game, and they didn't because they did not get any points in that sequence where they had the ball down to the Miami 16-yard line. They didn't score because they go incomplete. No gain. I think it was incomplete. And then the sack by Allen and then the missed field goal. That was a huge sequence, to be honest with you guys. Like, after that missed field goal, the Dolphins come down the field and score. And now you're in a tie game. And now the game gets a little bit tighter. Now you can't play as free and loose. I think if the Bills score a touchdown on that drive, they go up 2 scores. I mean, maybe Miami has to start being a little bit more one-dimensional early in the game. Miami could keep you off balance now because of that. To me, that was a huge sequence. So it was really when it happened, Joe. And, you know, thankfully, the Bills did score a touchdown on their first drive of the second half. But then they go 3 plays, 7 yards, 6 plays, 15 yards. Like, it just wasn't good enough at that point. They had – you would love to see them put them away earlier. They didn't put them away. That was, I think, what happened of why the Dolphins were able to stay in the game. You needed to get one more score to put a little distance and say, okay, Miami, you got to play catch-up now.
803-0550. Mike in Pennsylvania with Sal. Hey, Mike, good morning.
Hey, guys, good morning. Hey, yeah, I'm impressed with the personnel that they're running on the offense, but – I'm really super intrigued on how this defense is going to evolve. And what I mean that is there's a couple people injured. There's a couple rookies that need to come in. I think there's moves that we can get better if we stay healthy down the stretch. So that's really got me excited because I don't want to play the best ball at the beginning of the year. I'd like to play it going into the playoffs. And I really have hope for the two rookies in the front, especially Deion Walker, who played an excellent – when he was in there, he played excellent – maybe Hancock at safety. Maybe they make a move. I love Trey White, but he didn't have his best game yesterday. Maybe Dorian Strong starts to play a role on the team. So
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
There is moves the Bills can make to get this defense where it needs to be heading into the playoffs.
Sal, to this point, I want to ask you, I was going to get to this, Hairston's timeline. Talk to us about Hairston's timeline. I mean, when he got hurt, he had flashed, but he was not, at that point, winning the job. And, you know, we expect that to come in time. What do you think is a realistic timeline for Hairston to be full speed, up and running? And are the Bills obviously, like, aware of the possibility of a Cole Bishop scenario where you missed a lot of time, and that's going to be tough for him to kind of make up the mental reps while also getting healthy and being game ready?
Well, I think the Bills are very aware of it. I don't know if fans are ready for it, to be honest with you. I mean, I think fans might see the game from Tre'Davious White last night, and then if Max Harrison, you know, is eligible to start, if they start practicing him, let's say, in another week and a half, 2 weeks after game four, because that's when he's eligible. Just to go operational here for the timeline, he needs to miss one more game. So does Tyler Bass. But once he misses one more game, if the team feels he's healthy enough to be able to play again, they'll put him on the practice field. Once he's on the practice field, he has 21 days to practice before they have to activate him. So it could be another 3 weeks after that. It could be after the bye week before they even activate him, because they'd have 21 days to do that. That being said, guys, I mean, he got this. How long? It's been over a month now, right? I mean, it was before the first preseason game. Hard Knocks had just showed up, I think. It was not too long into training camp. So what's that look like as far as a ramp up and getting back and how much time missed? And when I say, like, are fans ready for it? Like, I think there's going to be some, to me, they're going to be too many people that will have an unreasonable expectation that he's just going to walk back in and be able to take a job and play. It's not going to work like that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, the mental reps, the physical, everything. And, I mean, at the same time, he's got to actually practice to get on the field and make sure he is healthy. You can't just activate him after 4 weeks and say he's ready to go after not playing football on a sprained knee for 2 months, right? So I think people have to at least understand that. The caller says, you know, help could come. Look, I think help comes in the form of Michael Hoyt. I'm really excited for what he could do to add to this defense. I think Michael Hoyt is going to be a really big key to this defense and a piece when – you know, he is healthy, and I think the Bills have plans for how to use him. I loved what I saw from him. And now, is he the end-all, fix-all? Of course not. Third downs or whatever you want to call it. Like, it doesn't suddenly come in and, you know, make your defense, you know, the 85 Bears. Is not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, though, I just think he is a guy that's really going to help as far as what you want to do personnel-wise, schematically, against teams. So that's the timeline of Max Harrison, by the way. We're three games in. So anybody who was placed on IR, including Tyler Bass, they have one more game. And then Hoyt and Ogunjobi, they have to still sit for three more games. However, they can start practicing after the next game with the team. They just can't be activated, and they can't be on the field until after 6 weeks.
And Ogunjobi, Sal, we should maybe consider him. The Bills are getting, I think, a nice surprise from Deion Walker early, but T.J. Sanders, not as much on the interior. So I think Ogunjobi would be dressing for these games unless Sanders makes a big jump.
Yeah, that's a good point, because this past last week, Matt Bove and I had a really good debate about Landon Jackson and about him getting a jersey or not getting a jersey. And Matt's basic point was, look, your third-round pick's got to be getting a jersey. If he's not, something's going wrong. My point is, well, I think that's a sign of a strong roster. It's a third-round pick. Like, I don't know what to expect from year one. Like, there's guys ahead of him. That's fine. You could fall wherever you want. But look, guys, I mean, when Ogunjobi comes back, isn't there a possibility that T.J. Sanders doesn't get a jersey?
Yeah. Very possible.
And, I mean, he's your second-round pick.
Yeah, I mean, that won't look good.
Well, right? Listen.
I don't know. See, that's the debate. I mean, you're right. It won't look good for him, but who does it not look good for?
Well,
because who's he supposed to play over?
I think it doesn't look good for Landon Jackson that he can't get over last year's fifth-round pick that plays 10 snaps.
Right, and that's what I think that, again, it all comes down to how they look in January, and that's what really matters. So if you tell me Landon Jackson and T.J. Sanders aren't dressing now, and Max Harrison is rehabbing and going to take a little time, but by the time we get to December, the Bills are their finished form of defense and ready to do the best they can, then I'll take that. But the answer to the question of who does that look bad for is Bean. If like your second and third and round picks are not contributing, he does have the fourth and fifth, which they actually tend to hit quite a bit. But if you draft a lot of linemen and they don't dress your young guys, I mean, in the short term, it looks bad for the GM. But again, like they could certainly pan out and be just fine.
Right, and that's my contention, which is I actually think it just is a sign of a healthy, strong roster. Because if you're not the Carolina Panthers, right? I mean, second and third round picks better play right away. I mean, the Buffalo Bills, you would love in a dream scenario, all your young guys play. But that also means that you have spots where they can play, right? I mean, like, I think the whole point is to build a roster where when you draft a guy in the third round, if he's not getting a jersey, and you could say, well, I can't believe he can't beat out Javon Solomon, but do you think he should? I don't know. Maybe, next year, A.J. Epenesa's not on this team probably. He's a free agent. I don't know about Joey Bosa. Like, this is why you develop talent. This is the debate, though, and it's fine. I had no issue either way. I'm saying, though, I think it's a healthy debate, and it's a good discussion. I don't think it's as clear-cut. There's a lot of nuance here, right? I mean, like, if Landon Jackson or T.J. Sanders, when Ogunjobi comes back, no doubt you could say they never should have signed Larry Ogunjobi, and that could be on the GM or whoever, and they signed him and all of that. But at the same time, you could also say, man, like, they got guys, they're drafting guys, they're developing, and this is what it's supposed to look like on the back end.
803-0550, our phone number. Thanks, Sal. Extra Point Show coming up today, 10 o'clock. All right. Sal Capaccio is Arrow Up, Arrow Down. We can get to all of it, but you can find that at our website, WGR550.com. Bills go to 3-0, 31-21, beating the Dolphins. It is Buffalo Bills Football Friday, and Football Friday is brought to you by Salino Law. Car crash, call Salino, call the 8s, and by Crosby's Pizza and Subs, Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922.
Back to pass, looking left, and stretching and reaching for it is Kincaid, and he stumbles into the end zone for the touchdown. A 20-yard touchdown hookup, Allen to Kincaid, and the Bills are an extra point away from tying it up early.
One of the highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Jeremy and Joe, good morning. It is a Football Friday. Brought to you by Salina Law. Car crash, call Salina. Call the 8s by Crosby's Pizza and Subs. Crosby's Hometown Fuel. Game day ready since 1922. Usually on Football Friday, one of the things we do is improving the game plan. That's brought to you by Bath Fitter. Improve your bath in one day with Bath Fitter. It just fits. And you can still kind of do it on a Friday because, after a game like that, plenty of people think they could improve the game plan. The Bills win 31-21. It was a very Bills game. Most games end like this. They have won. They've scored 31 points. They've given up a little bit more than people want them to on defense. And at one point, the offense was not the best you've ever seen.
Yep.
So because of that, we think, How could it have been? Myself included. That is how this goes every week.
You just,
next week they'll beat the Saints 35-13, and we'll talk about, you know, I didn't like the sequence where they did this.
I think there's absolutely nothing wrong with being happy that they won and also wishing that it didn't come down to the other team making a stupid mistake to put yourself in position to win it.
I tend to agree.
Right? Because they might have won the game if Zach Sealer doesn't blast Cameron Johnson trying to block a punt. The Bills actually, I wonder what their win probability would have been. Miami with the ball. At their own two. The Bills might have still been favored to win the game.
Yeah.
Betting odds, they definitely would have been favored.
I thought they'd win the whole time. There's never a moment I don't think they win that
but
game.
But you just, they should, their standard, Sal got to this a little bit too, they've set this standard that they can win games, and if it doesn't look great the whole time, then it's going to be pointed out because everybody knows what they're capable of. And they're too good a team to ever punt the ball three times in a row. That's what it is for me. They were punting the ball for a third time in a row. And with that quarterback, with that ground game, with that offensive line.
With that secondary over there.
That's definitely true. That defense stinks. They had nobody's playing at corner. Jack Jones isn't that good in the first place. He has to play through an injury because they've got a practice squad guy playing through an injury too who had to come in. Just that was... That was you called it on Wednesday. That's a wounded animal over there on defense. And you should never punt three times in a row to them. So you can be happy and also, I think, at the same time say, yeah, it should have looked better than that.
That tends to be how, from our experience in talking to Joe Brady, how he sounds about it.
Right, they're going to do that in the film room today.
Right. Yep. Chris in Buffalo is up next. Hey, Chris, good morning. Chris, are you there?
Hey, sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was talking about this a little bit earlier, but I'm curious why the Bills don't seem to want to throw it downfield or push the ball downfield more often. Seems like we're just checking it down, and I don't want to jump around the line and compare to Russell Wilson, but
yeah,
Russell Wilson at least throws some fun moon balls to watch every now and then.
Every clip that I am seeing, it's stacking on top of each other from last night's game. It's there might have been something down the field, and Allen took the running back. So I think. I wonder if yesterday it was Allen was very intentional to not push the ball down the field.
Maybe. I mean, I think there's still a case that ball winners down the field, they are light on.
He's got tight.
They have maximum of two.
Right. In one play I just watched, it's not a receiver going down the field. It's Ty Johnson on a
wheel route.
Kind of, but he's going to the middle of the field, and he's going to be open for 15, 20 yards, and he takes Palmer for five.
Yeah.
So... Right, Palmer, it kind of works both ways.
Which is Palmer's only catch.
That was his only catch.
One catch for 5 yards.
Right, and there was a better option on the play. But, again, it's Allen just I'm going to – yesterday it seemed like he thought, I'm going to just dink and dime my way to winning this football game and not make mistakes. And
it's possible the Bills think we can do that when we really need to, but otherwise we are good at a lot of things. We have a quarterback who has thrown 30 touchdowns to one interception.
In his last 11 games.
Right, and the one interception was a 3rd-and-16 bomb punt.
Yeah, to New England last year. And by the way, I tweeted the clip out. This is his only interception in the last 11 games. 3rd-and-16, he just threw it to the end zone because there was nothing there. The New England player
returned it to the one.
Yeah. So it was actually the best punt of the season.
It was a perfect interception.
Yeah, it was a great interception.
So if you have that... And you have this level of efficiency, that's probably how you want to win in the regular season against inferior opponents. Again, you can't convince people you're going to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs until you beat the Chiefs in the playoffs. We've even seen this in games against the Chiefs in the regular season. They beat the Chiefs by 2 scores last year and still lost in the playoffs. So we kind of live that life. But the down-the-field stuff, maybe it's there in perfectly schemed opportunities. I don't think they have guys that are just going to win that. Coleman, they've not thrown as many go balls for him this year as last year. Last year they threw him a lot. And
he's running comeback routes now.
Yes, he is, because those he can win. I don't think he can win down the field regularly the way that they might have wanted him to last year. He did have a nice play on it's a short yardage play in the red zone, and Allen snap throws, and it's Coleman doing what he does best. And what I'm getting at is here, the throw comes and it's on him fast, hands, he protects the ball, he makes the catch. One thing the Bills do really well is use players to their strengths. And if you're going to use Coleman, That's a way he's going to win.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to win where there's no time to react for the defensive back, and his frame is big, short yardage, bang. This should be easy pitch and catch. You can get this guy.
It was a slant on third and two. They did that to him.
Yep.
They threw him a screen yesterday that I
like
too.
I like him on screens as well, yards after catching. Finding a way to get the ball to him in space is part of it. And down the field, their best down the field guy might be Palmer. And
yes,
you know, like that's not happening unless it's Baltimore very late and you're driving for a score to win the game. Otherwise, they haven't really tried it. They, like you said, Josh looked that way against the Jets and his arm got hit as he tried to make a throw. Maybe who's picking somebody else? We kind of don't know. 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550 to join us. We'll get more calls in. We're wide open all the way till Chris Brown at 8:30. So if you're on hold, we will get right to your calls.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
As we can, as quick as we can. Jeremy and Joe, it is Football Friday, Victory Friday here on WGR.
Allen has to step up in the pocket, fires, it's complete over the middle to Elijah Moore, 50, 45, 40. And down to the 35-yard line. There's the catch and yards after by Elijah Moore for 30 big ones.
Chris Brown on the call. Highlights of the game brought to you by Northland Workforce Training Center. Train for what's next. Elijah Moore, big play there. Bills looking to ice the game. And that did a lot of work.
Can't imagine Curtis Samuels finding his way in without an injury because Moore made a couple plays. Shavers made a couple of plays. You're not taking Palmer out, so... Those guys are staying in, I think.
Jeremy and Joe, we'll get some calls in here on the Bills win over Miami. 31-21, 3-0. Next up, the Saints. You got a look-ahead line on that game?
Ooh.
Right.
I bet it didn't move much from...
Sure, right.
Like, it was like 15.5.
Rob in North Carolina. Hey, Rob.
Hey, guys. I wanted to bring up what I saw with the third down. Obviously, defense, you know. Seems like the past two seasons we're struggling against like teams that have two very good receivers. Like, look at how many times third downs we got gave up against the Rams last season, and now you have like Waddle and Hill, and we struggle to get them off the field at the end of the first half, where it was like 3rd and 12, we should have gotten him off the field. 3rd and 10, we should have gotten. Tyreek was wide open on a couple of them plays. It's like I'm kind of getting worried about our third, like especially our safeties and our corners. I'm kind of getting worried about that.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing differently. They blitzed more, it looked like a little bit yesterday, so I don't think it was that they were being passive. I mean, it was different things. Waddle would make a play, or Hill got a third down where Bernard just went too far to the outside and he left the cutback open. Like, it was different things, I think, on different plays. But they could not get off the field. I'm hoping – I don't know if he'll get on the field till like very late in the year, but if they're going to blitz, Hairston would be the key to me to getting off the field, because he should be able to speed-wise keep up with some of those receivers when he's ISO'd like that.
Yeah, I mean, Hairston, what you need out of Hairston and what really the whole thing adds up to is, could I just say third down pass defense?
Yes, yes.
Like, why you say two receivers? I think pass defense, because last year they had the worst pass defense they've had by their standard in a long time. And this year, you know, against Miami, they had some trouble. Mm-hmm. Against Baltimore, they had a lot of trouble. Mm-hmm. And against the Jets, they did not, because the Jets quarterback is not good. So
right.
I think you might see a trend. You might call it two receivers. I would call it wait till they play good quarterbacks, and I bet they have some trouble in pass coverage and in pass defense. Their safeties, their corners, like they're just it's a step down. In fact, Benford, you know, whatever, you want to use PFF, Benford is the lowest graded cover corner the Bills have right now.
On the season or yesterday?
Season. Benford. Below Dorian Strong in coverage. Now, at the beginning of the year, he had a groin, right? So I don't know, maybe he's working through that. It was scary moments yesterday when he went down.
And is he following guys around? He was on Hill most of the time yesterday.
Hill, you know.
Like whenever they were throwing to Waddle, it was Trey White. And whenever they were throwing to Hill, it was Benford.
And it's 5-for-10 for him.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Like the we'll see. I think it's pass defense. And that's the number one thing the Bills have to prove. That's why they drafted three defensive linemen, right? That's why they drafted Hairston. It's about their pass defense.
That's
why they signed Michael Hoyt. That's why they signed Joey Bosa. Like, they need to fix their pass defense. And that's in large part because of the way they're built. They always invite the run. You want to run, that's fine. Baltimore put them over here. Anybody else, you want to run, go for it. Go for it. We'd love to get you to throw it on us on third down. The problem the Bills have kind of run into, I think, is that their pass defense has just consistently drifted off a little bit, and we see that against these teams that are able to convert third downs, which are often passing situations. Now, their third down run defense and short yardage might be bad too, but third and longs, like Sal pointed out, like it's third and long, and pass defense against a good team that can pass the ball, you know, you have some problems. 803-0550, wide open segment. We'll get to all your calls here and your comments in the chat as well. It is a victory Friday, football Friday. Beautiful day. Beautiful weekend on the way. What are you going to do with all your extra time?
I know.
You're going to watch the Chiefs lose to the Giants?
Oh, that'd be that's nice. Not until Sunday night, though.
All right. What else are we watching?
Isn't it apple picking season or is it strawberry? What are we picking these days?
It might be a little early for apple picking. Maybe not.
It's too early for pumpkin patches and what, right?
We're getting close. The games we get, you get Pittsburgh, New England on Sunday.
Okay.
If you want that one.
Fine.
What else is interesting? Denver and the Chargers is a late game. That's one to watch. That's a very good one to watch. Rams, Eagles.
Who the Ravens play?
The Ravens.
They're Monday night.
Detroit. They play Detroit.
Can't wait for that, too.
Yeah. So, all right, 803-0550, your calls on the other side here on WGR on Football Friday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.